You are live, listening to livekillradio.org benefit special with the Central Second Collective. And I am joined by Rob Danson of Death to Anders. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm great. I'm going to be here. Been here all day. I'm going to be here for the rest of the day talking about the Kill Radio benefit and what you guys are doing for us. We're having a few technical difficulties today. I got you hooked up with a pretty damn short cord.
That's all good. I fixed it.
So why don't we start with just how it is that I even know you? I brought Death to Anders on Is Good, and we did an interview, an acoustic set together, and you taught me all about the Central Second Collective, why don't we just start there? What is the Central Second Collective, and what is Death to Anders within that?
Okay. The Central Second Collective is basically just a group of, right now it's six bands, and we promote, support, and play shows with one another in LA and the surrounding areas. The way that this kind of came about, it came about somewhat naturally, where we were just kind of playing shows individually, just booking shows with random venues, and we were somewhat unhappy with the bands that were either playing before us or after us, and it wasn't that they were necessarily bad bands, but that the genres were very conflicting. And to solve that problem, we started playing a lot of shows together, and after a while we kind of realized that we naturally formed this community. And then the next step was to kind of have a meeting and call it a name and figure out where to go from there. And since then, we've been playing a lot of shows together, and a collective show, like what's happening next week, is a show with pretty much almost all of the collective bands together. Some collective shows we'll just have like maybe two members, and then we'll bring in like our friends too. I mean, there's like tons of bands that we're friends with, including the Henry Clay People and the Soft Hands and Rademacher, and there's tons of these bands that we just absolutely love, and we just play shows with them as well. So
did it take very long, or was it pretty quick that you figured out that, you know, your chances were better supporting each other than just every man for himself or every band for themselves?
I don't think it really took that long. I mean, Death to Anders, One Trick Pony, and the Happy Hollows started playing together early on, and Sarah from the Happy Hollows introduced us to the Westwood Brewing Company, where we would play, and we would play there a lot. That wasn't really the right venue for us, and through a Craigslist ad, we found out about the Cocaine, which is in downtown LA. And we started playing there, and that's where we met the Transmissions and Anchors for Architects as well, and also Die Rockers Die, like pretty much all of these collective bands. And one thing led to another. Either like the Transmissions started playing shows with Die Rockers Die, and then we started playing shows with the Happy Hollows, and then the Happy Hollows started playing shows with Anchors for Architects, and then we kind of expanded on that. And it was really we decided to do like a big show with just friends, like all of us together as friends, at the Good Hurt. That was the very first one. This was before we even called it a collective. And I was on the phone talking to Sarah from the Happy Hollows like right after that happened, and we were just talking about how cool it was that tons of people showed up, and how a fan from like the first band would stay till the very last act because they ended up really liking all the music, because that's what we did. We just had it, kind of a genre specific thing, kind of like indie rock, alternative rock stuff. And I don't know who said it first, whether it was me or Sarah, but pretty much at the same time, we're like, we just kind of formed a collective. So
there's probably at least 1,000 bands in LA that refer to themselves as alternative or indie rock or something along those lines. What do you think it is about the bands in the Central Second Collective that that make you feel that they belong together? What is it about the sound that they play well together?
That's tough to say because we don't all sound alike.
And it's not a very big collective. Yeah, it's only six bands right now, right?
Yeah, it's you know, I mean, it's six bands, and then like the friends that I had mentioned, like the Henry Clay people and the Soft Hands. I mean, like we don't sound alike at all. And you know, it's not like we're carbon copies of each other, but it's I don't know. We feel that I guess we all have similar. There's similar, you know, related artists. You know, the bigger bands would all be. You know, it's all kind of like the indie rock stuff, whether it's Pavement or Sonic Youth or the Pixies, Modest Mouse, Built to Spill. And I think that's the beauty of this collective is that some bands like One Trick Pony, for example, they're more kind of a quieter, slow tempo, acoustic, sort of a bass band. Whereas like the Happy Hollows and Death to Anders, we can actually get pretty loud and abrasive in certain times. But at the same time, it's, you know, a fan of one band will definitely like the fan of the others. So,
and right now, do you guys have a website or is it just the MySpace page?
Right now, it's a MySpace page. We're working on deathtoanders.com, but right now, Death to Anders, the MySpace is the way to find us.
MySpace.com/thecentralsecond.
Oh yeah, the Central Second, yeah. Oh yeah, and there is a Central Second website that is being made as well.
And do you guys currently like you have meetings and as a collective do you have a like a mission statement, like an objective? I mean, as opposed to just being a group of friends that try to play together when you can, sort of what is it that defines these six bands as being a collective?
I guess what really defines it is to all of us getting together and being very, very positive to one another, helping each other out, promoting each other or promoting each band, and just really creating a community within Los Angeles. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of bands in Los Angeles, but what we've noticed is that there's every band kind of feels that everybody else is out to get them is kind of like a big competition. And we don't really see it that way. We see it as we're all in this together and we all have the same goals. So why not work together to achieve those goals? And so one way is that if a band's playing, then we'll all go out and see them. Another way is if we all have shows together, especially if we're playing the same show, then we all pitch in on promoting it or pitch in on the money it takes to make flyers and to burn, you know, sample CDs and all that.
So it's not like after you play, you jump off the stage and you're out of there. You stick around for the next.
Oh, of course.
For the next act.
Of course.
Yeah, that's got to be a really important element of it.
Yeah.
Why don't we listen to some music? Do you want to play something or you want to play a CD?
Let's play a CD for now.
Sure. And, what do you recommend? You brought in a couple of CDs from some of these artists. We were playing one of your the Central Second Collective compilation. It has samples from all of the artists. Is there anything in particular you can recommend?
Yeah, let's go with Die Rockers Die. These guys are.
Is that from which CD?
It's It's the one you have in your hand right there, the red one.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. This one is a mix of some new and some old stuff that they did. They're absolutely amazing. They are playing fourth at the Echo.
Yeah, actually, we should probably get those details out. You know, I'm probably going to mention it a lot throughout the next couple hours, but at the risk of sounding like a KCRW pledge drive, just remind everyone that we're having a Kill Radio fundraiser or benefit, whatever you want to call it. It's been organized by the Central Second Collective, and it features five of the six bands. Mm-hmm. One of the bands, the Happy Hollows, has been fortunate enough to book a show somewhere, the Troubadour.
The Troubadour, yeah.
And I know they have a rule about playing other shows around that same time, so they have to do the business of their business on that day. But we have The Transmissions, Death to Anders, One Trick Pony, Anchors for Architects, and Die Rockers Die, and they're all going to play. And you know, just on behalf of Kill Radio, let me just thank you now, and I'll be thanking everybody comes in. But you know, it's really amazing to see it's amazing on two levels. One, to see just an indie rock collective in the first place, because so much about independent music is, you know, every band for themselves, you know, do what you got to do to make it. And it's really refreshing to see bands working together and seeing the benefits of working together. And then also at Kill Radio, we're a nonprofit collective trying to give an internet radio voice to the underrepresented, both in politics and music. We're just now going into our seventh year, and we've struggled the whole way through. We're struggling now, and it's just fantastic to see a group of people who are also collective-minded, you know, working towards similar aims and helping us out. We really appreciate it. So everybody, you have to. And also, this is a $5 cover, which is insane. Most, insane in a good way.
Yeah.
Most benefits, you know, $20, $30, and especially with five bands. I mean, $1 a band, you really can't beat that.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, what we talked about what we wanted the cover to be, and we all, pretty much all of us, decided that it definitely should be cheaper. It'll attract more people, and the goal of this is not only to raise money for Kill Radio, but also to raise awareness of Kill Radio and the collective and everything that's going on around this this event. And if we make it affordable, then more people will actually be able to come out and enjoy it and understand what's going on. So
yeah, and they get to know more about Kill Radio, and they get to know more about, you know, five of these six incredible bands. So back to the music. We'll play Die Rockers Die. Should I just put the CD
put it in?
And we'll go from there.
This is an old song.
All right, stick around. You're listening to killradio.org special benefit event show.
I'm hearing voices in my head, it's everywhere I go. We had it all so easy, and I guess that goes to show. We had our trip so low, we had our trip so low. We just got sold to rock and roll, and now I want it back. I'll steal it if I have to, I just gotta have it back. I know now what I lack, I know now what I lack. I just got to have it back. Sold to rock and roll, and now I want it back. I'll steal it if I have to, I just gotta have it back. I know now what I lack, I know now what I lack. I just got to have it. Got so close, but not that close. What am I supposed to do with you? You made it seem like it was peaches and cream, like you were a dream come true for me. Now the room is bare, there's nothing there, and I know now that you never really did care. us, and it was cheesy, but it's true. The magic moment died. The magic moment died. The magic moment died. The magic moment died.
And we're back with the Kill Radio Benefit event special show. I got to come up with a name for this, man. Mm-hmm. I'm hanging out with Rob of Death to Anders, and we're just listening to some Die Rockers Die, one of the bands. I guess they're going up last, huh?
Yeah.
Cool, man.
No, they're going on fourth.
They're going on fourth?
Yeah.
I was just looking at the flyer. What is the order of the bands on the 18th?
The order is Anchors for Architects, One Trick – this is like from first to last, I guess. Anchors for Architects, One Trick Pony – Death to Anders, Die Rockers Die and The Transmissions.
Fantastic. That's going to be an awesome show. Yeah. Actually, why don't we go right into a song from you, if you could indulge us, and then we'll talk about Death to Anders and what that's all about. I actually already know a lot about you because I had you on my show, but let's educate the rest of the world about you. What are you going to play for us first?
Okay, this song is a song I wrote a while ago. It's called Corduroy Stitches, and it's our first song on our MySpace page. This is just like a nice little acoustic version of that.
All right, you're listening to the Central Second Kill Radio Benefit Show, and this is Death to Anders.
Hand me the bag that I'll vomit my heart into. Corduroy stitches, I'll grant all your wishes, 'cause my drama means wearing out. She had cancer on the tip of her neck, and it spread to her brain, and she died full of pain, and her daughter was left alone. Too bad.
Nice. Thanks, man. So that was called Corduroy Stitches?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about just the beginning of Death to Anders. How, before all of this stuff happened with the Central Second Collective, when you were just a kid with a guitar, How did that become Death to Anders?
Death to Anders started about, I guess, 2.5 years ago. I had moved here to LA from Colorado, and I attended the recording artist program at the Musicians Institute, where you kind of learn how to build your own home studio and record on your own using, like, you know, like your laptop and all that stuff. And that's a 6-month program. Once I graduated from that program, I stayed on as a TA. And Nick Seglio, who's also in Death to Anders, was an incoming student. And we both started talking. I guess right off the bat, we realized that we were big Decemberists fans, and we were also big into Modest Mouse and Built to Spill. And I started showing him other stuff. Like, I started showing him My Bloody Valentine and Pavement, and he, like, really dug that. And he, like, really got me into Elliott Smith and all this stuff. So we really had, like, a bunch of mutual artists that we really, really liked. And I was in a band at the time playing a couple of the songs that we're still playing in Death to Anders, but I didn't like the other players I was with. And once I started really getting to know Nick and realized how amazing of a musician and how talented he was and how we actually shared the same vision, I quickly quit my band and started playing with him. So
it's amazing how important that is.
Yeah.
To we were talking a little bit about this before we went on the air about just how important it is to be on the same page with a musician, you know, and have a similar vision. How long did it take? Like, when you guys started doing music together, did you take pretty quickly to it and realize that the two of you were headed in the same direction?
Yeah, it was actually my boss. He was just one of the coworkers at the time at the Musicians Institute. His name's Greg. He's in a band called Veiled, and he called me up. He was like, "We need an opener. We want you guys to open for." It was their first show, and so it was going to be our first show. And Nick and I had only been together for about a week and a half, and we're like, sure, we could maybe do like a 20-minute set. And so that's what
you
we
guys
did.
So you guys already had some songs though.
Yeah, we had what was easy for the way that Nick and I really excelled quickly was because both Nick and I write songs. So I already had a bunch of songs, Nick already had a bunch of songs, and so when the first two gigs came up, we actually had like a good like 20 minutes or 30 minutes of material.
Nice.
So it worked out.
So who's just walking in just now, right now? Hey, Randy. Here, have a microphone. You're listening to Kill Radio. You're listening live to the Central Second Kill Radio Benefit special show that I haven't quite named yet. And we have some, we're hanging out with Rob Danson of Death to Anders, and we have some more people who've just come in. It looks like the rest of Death to Anders has arrived.
Except for Randy,
yeah, go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Randy, in the band One Trick Pony. And this is Nicholas.
Yeah, I'm Nick. I'm other guitarist in Death to Anders.
So let's finish off with the Death to Anders. We just heard a song. Rob just played Corduroy Stitches for us.
Oh, nice.
And he was just telling us a story about how the two of you started playing music together. And we've met before because I had you on Is Good. Do you think everything he's saying is true, or should you start the story over?
About
you being a good musician and
oh, that's definitely wrong. Definitely wrong. I don't know where you got that from, man.
Now, I know you guys both play guitar and you both sing and you both sort of make Death to Anders work, and there's no like one person who's like so and so and his band Death to Anders.
Right.
How do you handle that? I mean, you guys are part of a collective of bands where you all cooperate on booking shows, and then within your band is a collective of people who are going towards the same thing. You guys write the songs together as well, the lyrical content and everything.
Yeah, pretty much. I think we're still trying to figure out the most effective dynamic within the band too, especially now that we just found a new drummer. And we've been with our bassist now for about a year. So so I think we're still kind of just feeling it out, but mostly we the way we did it before, like Rob might have told you, I'm not sure, but we'll write most of the songs outside and then bring it in to the band, and then we, you know, work things out. Sometimes we'll just jam out and figure things out on the spot, but mostly it's, yeah, mostly it's just, it's
Now, I met you guys in October, and you guys had, you know, recently lost your drummer for good, yeah. And you had him back to play a couple shows, and then he was gone again, and now you have a drummer, and now you're sort of back as a full band again. How has the band changed since October? Truly, it wasn't that long ago, but has the music changed in your mind?
It's gotten a lot more solidified, at the very least, I would say. That's a lot more solidified, and just the fact that, I don't know, a new drummer brings a whole new, you know, bag of tricks into the mix. We just have to, I don't know, what would you say, man? I mean, it's the feel when we're playing is a lot more positive, I guess, maybe just because of the fact that we know this lineup is, I don't know if that has to do with it, if we're sure about this lineup and that's just making us feel better, or if the music is just sounding better. I'm sure, hoping it's a little bit of both.
I'll comment a little bit. Our new drummer, John, used to be in a band with our bass player, Pete, called Crooner. And they've known each other for years, and they already have that dynamic and the chemistry.
Bass and the drummer.
Yeah.
They really have to be connected.
Exactly. Exactly. And really just like right off the bat, even like in the audition, when we were auditioning the drummer, like we could tell that this was definitely a good choice. It's a tighter rhythm section. It's stronger. Our new drummer, John, brings a more energetic rock feel to the sound, and it works. It works beautifully.
Are you guys still writing new material?
Yes.
So yeah. have you seen the writing change, knowing that you have a drummer and a bass player, you know, knowing that you have these new people in your band?
Actually, we had a rehearsal yesterday, and we were playing a song that we've been playing for a while now called Dark Bathrooms, and the end is like this really, just really energetic, rhythmic, very, very heavy rhythmic instrumental piece, and our bass player Pete, he decided to try something completely different, and he just like did this amazing melodic bass line over a bunch of noise that Nick and I are both doing, and I don't think that he would have done that with a different drummer. Like the dynamic, the big rock dynamic that the drummer has, and also the chemistry that he shares with the drummer, like I think it allowed him to feel free to actually experiment that way, and it worked so well. So
that's fantastic.
You should do books on tape with your voice.
do I have that?
You should do books on tape.
Chapter one.
It comes through very, very well. It
it's
does.
Awesome. It's awesome.
For those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to KillRadio.org's benefit special. We're Central Second Collective is an indie rock collective, and they're helping organize a show for us, a fundraiser show for us at the Echo, January 18th. And there's only a $5 cover. And you can get the flyer if you just go to myspace.com/kill_radio. And I'm sure it's probably over at the Central Second MySpace as well, and all over the internet. And just go to the Echo on the 18th, so just do it. Okay. We're joined by another Central Second member who I haven't quite met yet. Maybe you could just grab the mic and introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Christian. I play in the Transmissions, and I just got here via the subway.
Subway is nice. People don't think about LA having subway. We happen to be walking distance from a subway station. I live like down the corner, down the street, so it's like,
nice.
Well, it's nice. There's no parking, which is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
And
does that encourage you to not have a car? Or,
well, it encouraged me not to use my car. You know, because I'm basically,
you never want to lose your spot.
Constantly playing keep away from the parking police. So I just like move my car from one side of the street to the other, and then I hop in the train, go somewhere. So, welcome. We have representatives from Transmissions, One Trick Pony, and Death to Anders, And you guys are I guess that makes 50% of the Central Second Collective. Why don't you guys, I guess we'll do one at a time. I'm curious. I want to know about each of your bands, but first I want to know about how you got involved with the Central Second Collective. Rob told me about how it all started, but it had to by necessity be from his perspective. I'm wondering about your guys' perspective. Whoever wants to start.
I hope our stories don't clash. I'm Randy, first of all, One Trick Pony, and
Rob clocked me over the head, threw me in a trunk, and
yeah. I just woke up and I was in a band in a collective. I met them at Musicians Institute. We had played. Our band had gone through tons of changes, so I don't remember who was in the band at that time. But we finished playing. We were sitting down just drinking, and Nick and Rob went up at whatever form of Death to Honduras they were at the time as well. And we were just like, wow, they're not some lame metal band that is usually in, you know, Musicians Institute. So we just talked to them. We struck up a conversation, and we both, you know, liked each other's stuff. And I think me and Rob went to a comedy club after that, like just like on a date. We went on a date.
A musician's date.
Yeah, to a comedy club, and we just started hanging out, and I went to one of their shows. They came to one of ours, you know, vice versa, and, you know, just more and more we were at each other's shows. And then, so that's kind of how I met them, but I guess they knew Sarah from Happy Hollows before, you know, in, you know, earlier in life, and so then that's how we were kind of there. And then the first time, like, all of us were kind of together, I remember we were at the Cocaine, and we just happened to see the Transmissions play, and we were all like blown away and just like we were gonna leave, like we were drinking ready to just go and, you know, hang out, and we weren't even gonna stay for the other band, and we saw Transmissions and we were all like, wow. I was like all insecure. I was like, wow, we're douchebags, they're cool.
Was this idea of forming a band collective just sort of presented to you, like, do you want to do this thing with us? Or
no, I think, but like at that time none of us had really thought about any of it. We just kind of had mutual respect for all of our, you know, all the bands, and just started going to each other's shows just to support, you know, because we being bands, we realize that it's important. And you know, we, since we actually liked the music, it wasn't like just being nice and saying, hey, I'll come to your show. We actually liked it, and we wanted to help each other out. And it just, I think it was just really natural. It was just like something that was already there that we decided to say, hey, well, you know, we are a group. Let's put a name to it and, you know, maybe organize it a little bit, you know, better.
It's funny. We made this allusion to, like, a musician's date, how it's true in the music world. Like, you have to, the kind of relationship that one musician has to another, you do kind of audition each other, mm-hmm. you know, because you find out what kind of music you're into. And the truth is, and this is true even if you're not a musician, but it's especially true if you're a musician, you know, if the person is into a kind of music and you just can't understand why someone would like that kind of music, mm-hmm. you're not going to connect with them on a deep level.
Yeah, know? Definitely.
It's strange how that works.
If Josh Groban is like your favorite singer, then this is hard. Yeah, it would be hard to like connect on other levels too. So, not that he's, I mean, I'm sure he's awesome. Yeah. I have tickets to his next show, but.
All right, so tell me a little bit about Christian, about your band and how it ended up
came into the collective.
In the collective,
yeah, I mean, it's pretty much like Randy said. That was the first time that I. Well, actually, that's not the first time that I met Rob, and I feel like Rob has really been fairly instrumental in bringing a lot of people together. Like,
he's always been in the middle of all
like
the
even
connections.
A lot of the bands that I've gotten to know that aren't part of the collective, I mean, I've kind of gotten to know through him. Like, he really goes out and like finds like good acts to check out. So we have a lot to thank him for, and Nick for you know, rubbing his back and making him feel good about himself. But the way I remember like coming into the collective, or I guess my feeling about wanting to be in a collective, and then the idea of getting proposed and liking it is my experience prior to being in the collective was trying to play a lot of shows with my band and feeling like every like we'd play a show and we'd be at the venue and we'd feel like we were not fitting whatever genre had gotten booked for that night. So the first band would be clearly imitating some sort of like other band that you could almost hear the songs, you know, just with the lyrics changed or whatever. And and whatever genre that was, we would always somehow be offensive to that genre's audience. I'm not saying I think we or anyone else in the collective is really like trying to be different so much as I know, like, my situation is I'm not very good at imitating others, so my only like option is to like make some shit up that somehow becomes my shit.
And that's your job as a musician. Your job, you know, leave the imitation to, you know.
Right, right. A cover band or whatever.
Exactly.
But so my feeling in the city for a long time was like I'd always feel I'd be so anxious to want to play while the band before us was playing, like not inspired, not taken in by their music, just feeling like they were imitating it. I would be so anxious to get on, so I wasn't really in a good mood. I was more in like a fuck it, I just want to go, like come on, this is awful.
For the bus, the train.
Yeah. and then after we played, the next band would go on and they wouldn't give me like any motivation to want to stay. So like I kept feeling like really uninspired about playing here and not really wanting to be in the city, you know. And then I came across the cocaine through Josh, our bass player.
Being a venue, not a euphemism for doing drugs.
Exactly. Thank you.
And I was hooked on the crack.
And then on the cocaine, everything was good. You know, like all the bands made sense. No. What happened is Josh turned us on to the cocaine, which is a venue in Little Tokyo, which now I book Sunday nights there. As it started out, a guy named Johnny Munger was booking Wednesdays and Saturdays there. He has since left LA and is in Arizona doing another cocaine there. And another guy named Nico is doing the cocaine now. Anyway, long story short, the point is that it was one of the first venues that I had like went to where I felt like the music that was being played was not as genre specific and it was more eclectic. So we kind of got turned on to the venue, and then Johnny sort of started the whole energy of community because he ran the venue and like invited bands that were playing at the venue to come take part in community meetings where they could tell him how they would like the venue run.
Wow, that's
really
unusual.
And that's like unlike anything I'd experienced here, because everything else seemed very like elitist and closed circles, and
seem like a lot of venues they hate the musician first and they hate their customers even more.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, I mean, it's easy to talk shit about other venues in the city and all that stuff, but I certainly haven't had positive experiences seeing them either as
I hate the Viper Room.
Name names. I fucking hate it.
Most of the venues that are considered...
You won't be playing there anytime soon, I take it.
I said it there.
You were made for the Viper Room, Randy. You'd rock that place so hard. But whatever, most of the venues in the city that are considered hip can be kind of like cold stone that you can't like really get any like love from for the most part unless you feel like you're already inside a circle. But anyway, the cocaine was like that, and I met Rob and Nick at one of those community meetings, and they played one of their mixes on the PA, and we played one of ours, and we liked each other, and we went out on a date. That was the start of it, and then it spread from there, like getting to hear other bands, and that's my feeling about the collective, is that the main reason that I'm part of it is that I feel like, because the other bands don't sound like us necessarily, though there are shared elements, and there are also, what I find exciting, as we all write new songs, we kind of like, you can hear the other band's songs in it, you know, in ways.
Is that important to you?
That's really important to me, because that basically means like, I mean, I'm doing it all the time. I keep trying to figure out how to write like a Happy Hollows song, you know, not imitating them, but like they, you know, achieve a certain energy and tone in their music that the Andres does too. I can't sing like Randy, so there's no hope in doing One Trick Pony songs, because he's all about the awesome lyrics and voice that he has.
Do you think as a collective?
And hair gel.
Do you think as a collective that you've all become better musicians just from, you know, osmosis, just from being around each other?
Definitely. Yeah. Surround yourself with people who are...
I can hear you, but they can't.
You surround yourself with people that are better than you in certain things. It's natural, you know what I mean? You can't help but improve. just by surrounding yourself with greatness. So you guys are totally going to improve by hanging out with me. So.
I feel like I'm improving already just by sitting next to you.
At the risk of pushing this metaphor a little too far, do you guys feel almost married to the collective in a sense that, you know, you guys have found a musician's home? Because like a lot of collectives, they're collectives in name only. And really what they are sort of like these temporary groups where people come in, they take what they need, and they're on to their next thing. Do you guys feel almost like you're a giant band? In that, like, you're home?
Rob and I have already been in a collective before this that lasted, like, you know, how long was it?
A month or two.
A couple months. And then it died out for that reason. It was just, like, not organized, and we weren't really into the aesthetic of whatever that collective, quote-unquote, you know, stood for. So, yeah, I mean, this isn't really, this kind of just happened. So because of that, it wasn't forced. I think it's going to have some.
And I mean, we're all friends, and we were, you know, we've had like a few bands on the periphery have like kind of come and gone. And, you know, we were just like, you know, wondering like, well, okay, so what's the collective now? What's the blah, blah, blah. And I was saying to Nick that we are all friends, and it's very natural. So it's not, it's like every month you don't, you know, take stock of like who your friends are now. Like, okay, let's see. Who's still here? Who came to my party, you know, this time? Or they're out, blah, blah, blah. It's more like we naturally hang out anyway. So we're all like we're at each other's shows anyway. And it's just something, like I said, that has just been there. Like there's another band, Henry Clay People, who are almost as close as, you know, any other bands who have been there from the start. And, you know, they're kind of like pretty much they're in the collective too. It just hasn't, we haven't really talked about it yet, I guess, but you know, we hang out with them. They hang out with us. We're friends. We're
is
at
there
each
like
other's
a
parties.
Hazing that they need to go through.
We do have to beat them
the battle
pretty severely.
Yeah. Now we
actually we make them write a song for each of our bands, but they can't have credit for it. We get to play.
Yeah, they have to sacrifice their best song.
Now we struggle with that challenge too, though. Here, like like here at Kill Radio. I mean, like we're a collective, and it's a lot of the same thing. There's like a lot of. Because there's so many of us, I mean, there's like 40 or something DJs and 40 or so shows, and we've been around. We're going now into our 7th year as a nonprofit, I would say almost anti-profit, you know, internet radio station. There are parts of us that capture that collective atmosphere where it's like, hey, we're all doing the same thing together, and we would all hang out, and you know, and then there are others who, you know, because we make it so easy to come in and be a part of it, who kind of come in and just take what they need and then go. And you're constantly trying to like maintain order without establishing rules, you know? And that, I mean, that's gotta be a challenge in any collective. Do you guys think it's important to keep it down to just the 6 bands or maybe, you know, add another band here or there? But I mean, I know of other music collectives that are as many as 20 bands. You think it's important to keep it a small number?
Well, just for decision-making, it's gotten harder and harder the more bands we've added, because it was 4 bands for a while, and then Die Records Die and Angus for Architects came in. I don't know. I'm sure we all have our different opinions, but at times I feel like I wish the collective was 50 bands big, because I don't like to portray any sort of elitist attitude. Our attitude is not like we're the only 6 bands that mean anything to each other. And on the other hand, the second we get one more band involved, it makes it that much harder to make a decision about like who plays what show.
What the fuck is
that's
that?
That's my cell phone.
Dog phone.
That's my cell
phone.
It's got a dog.
Room. I thought Hassan stepped on a puppy.
It's got a dog howling on my phone. That's my. I think speaking of real quick, just what? My dog is listening right now because I left my radio on at home for my dog. So I just wanted to say hi, Nico.
That's good.
I hope you're doing well. Hi, Nico.
Get off.
Good girl.
Get off of that. Get off of the couch.
Yeah, you know. There you go.
I think any collective.
Like you were saying, the different like DJs who come in and just kind of like use it and go on. Like I don't know. I feel, and this is not like the collective. Like I don't speak for everybody, but I've always just felt like kind of it takes care of itself. You know, like if people are just in it just to, you know, use it for whatever, and they don't really feel connected to it, they end up leaving anyway because they don't. You know.
Yeah,
they just take off, and it's like whatever. Well, people who are left are the people who are left.
That's why Kill Radio is still around, because the people who really care about it. Stayed and continued to exert their influence as best they can. So
people weed themselves out anyway.
Yeah. Why don't we play some music and then off a CD, and then while that's going on, we can set up the mics for another live thing if anybody wants to play.
Coolio.
I have a new CD and I forgot it in the car.
All right. Well, while we're playing this, you can go grab your CD. And what do you recommend, Rob? Why don't you help me out here? I got all these CDs. I don't know what they mean.
We did.
Yeah, we played some Die Rocker Die. Yeah.
I wasn't here yet, but I heard it.
Awesome.
And figure something out.
All right. So yeah. And this is you have this awesome album, Punctuate the Calamities. I've heard the whole thing, listened to it many times. Its packaging is awesome too.
Thanks.
And where can people get that and get more information just on Death to Anders?
Basically, well, as of now, information for Death to Anders is at our MySpace site, MySpace/Death2Anders, and that's A-N-D-E-R-S. And the packaging, it's a handmade packaging that is available at our shows. And if you want to buy our CD off the internet or anything like that, you just get like the regular standard jewel case. But the handmade packaging is really cool. It has twine and it's like all kind of tied together. Come to the show, you'll see it. It's $8. Cool. It's cool.
Was there a specific track you want to play, or should I just go for it?
Let's do
Heavyweight. Sell out. Heavyweight. Sell out. The Fall.
Christian has his favorites.
Well, pretty much the whole thing.
Okay, you let the Transmissions pick the Death to Anders song that we're going to play.
You pick a song.
Man, they're so
good. Oh, no, but we don't have a list here.
Well, I know. I mean,
you have to remember the number.
Well, I really like Heavyweight. It's the last track.
All
right. Track 11.
And The Fall, I think, is right before that, and that's really good. And I think Sellout's right before that. That's really good.
Well, why don't we'll play the last two tracks, and that way it'll give Randy enough time to get back with his CD.
Can I introduce this?
Yeah, please do.
K-I-L-L Radio.
Well done. You're listening to... sorry. I just want to remind everyone that you're listening to a live special fundraiser event show featuring the Central Second Collective, who are putting on our benefit at the Echo on the 18th. So check that out. And this is Death to Anders.